So let's take our Bibles and turn to 1 Kings chapter 19. These are some reasons why people quit their jobs. I guess these come from employers who have had employees obviously quit. One said that one of his employees said he was going to go and join the circus. I think we've heard that one, haven't we? Number two, a staff member left to climb Mount Everest. I hope he made it. Number three, a guy told us he was making too much and didn't feel he was worth it. Number four, an employee said work was going or is getting in the way of having fun. I think we all feel that way at some point in time. Number five, one person quit to watch a soccer tournament. Hope his team won. Number six, someone quit so he could stay at home and feed his dog. And then one more, one person quit because he hated the carpet at work. And it evidently was shag carpeting. So, well, Elijah, if you kind of up to speed with where we are with Elijah, he certainly had, he really had turned in his resignation. He was really tired of being God's spokesman. He didn't like the way he was being treated, especially by a gal named Jezebel. Well, we'll see tonight how God brought Elijah back, how he restored his really runaway prophet, runaway spokesman. Let me just say, God does that with us. We can kind of make light of some of these reasons why, you know, people have quit their jobs. But how many of us, maybe it's not for one of these reasons, but other reasons, we've kind of thrown up our hands and said, I'm gone. I'm out of here. Quit. And oftentimes in our lives, we quit on the Lord, don't we? Maybe we have a Sunday school class, or maybe we have an office in the church. Maybe we just are tired of the preacher, and we say, I'm out of here, I'm gone. And oftentimes, it's more than just quitting a church, it's quitting God himself, the Lord himself. And so I want us to see how God restored Elijah and how God really does restore us. We get discouraged. Maybe we've fallen into sin. Maybe we've decided to run away. Is God able to restore us, and how does he do so? Well, the most famous psalm, and I would consider that Psalm 23, not only tells us that the Lord, who is our shepherd, makes us to lie down in green pastures and leads us beside still waters, but he does what? He restores our soul. He restores our soul. The God who rescues us from ourselves and our circumstances also thankfully restores us and leads us back into the paths of righteousness. His restoration includes the paths of righteousness. You are not being restored if you're not being restored to live righteously. And so he leads us to paths of righteousness. This evening I want us to witness God restoring Elijah by righteously using his prophet again. Restoration of the soul involves returning to a place of duty. And we see God directing Elijah, his erring servant, to such a course. I want you to notice in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 15. Verse 15, and the Lord said unto him, go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. When thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over over Syria. A solitary place in Elijah's case, a cave with nothing to do, was it is not conducive to healing the soul. It does not move our hearts to God. And so the only hope for a person in such seclusion is to leave. Oftentimes when we're disappointed with God, when we're disappointed with our situation, our circumstance, what do? We kind of cloister ourselves in our little man cave, our little place at home or wherever. We get away from God's people. We move away from our service to God, our service to the Lord. Basically, we could say we go into hiding. That is not conducive to moving our heart to God. And so the only hope for a person in such seclusion is to leave our solitude and become employed in some useful and benevolent occupation, to return to our God-given place of duty. And we see this principle lived out over and over in Scripture. For example, we see it in the life of Abraham. When Abraham left Egypt, Genesis 13:3 tells us he went on his journey from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning. So God told him to go back where you came from. When the church at Ephesus left her first love, Christ's admonition to her was, remember from where thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works. And so God said to Elijah, go back the way you came, through the wilderness of Arabia, which was part of the course he would traverse on his way to Damascus to anoint Hazael to be king of Syria. And folks, this is still God's way to restore his strayed sheep. Jeremiah 3:12 says, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful. Return. I think of Peter when he repented of his great sin of denying his Lord. Jesus not only forgave him, but recommissioned his servant. Christ told him to feed my sheep. And so again we see the Lord restored Elijah. He appointed him fresh work to do. And notice the tasks God gave him to do. Verse 15, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And what a high honor. Think about that. He was to anoint Hazael to be king, to be Syria's next king. That's, you know, Samuel-type work. How gracious God is, how he patiently bears with our infirmities. To be anointing men to become the next king of a country, that's a big deal. He was giving Elijah something specific and something very special to do. Then verse 16 says, and Jehu, the son of Himshai, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. Again, what high orders. And then he was to anoint Elisha, the son of Shaphat, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. Here Elijah was given the distinct honor, the favor, to ordain his successor, which told Elijah that the mission that he had so zealously prosecuted would be carried on. The mantle would be successfully passed. It would not be dropped. Elijah's successor would continue his work. Elijah's efforts would not come to naught. And then verse 17 tells us, and it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. God was telling Elijah, you don't have to fear that the enemy is going to triumph. I'm about to employ human instruments to render my judgment. Hazael, king of Syria, Jehu, the rude captain of Israel, and a farmer named Elisha. A king a captain, a farmer. I say a pretty good lineup, which tells us that God, yes, is long-suffering with evil men, but there is a limit to his patience. Proverbs 29:1 tells us, he that being often rebuked or reproved, yet hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be cut off, suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. And God had long endured the worshipers of Baal, but they would soon see that God's sword does its fearful work to the degree the land will be purged of this great evil. And I say to America, you don't endure sexual perversion. You don't kill the unborn and escape the sword of God's judgment. And that's why churches still need to speak out against homosexuality. That's why churches still need to speak out against pornography. Pornography is sexual perversion. That's why churches need to speak out against abortion, because God will wield his sword. And we need to warn people. If we don't warn people, then that blood is on our hands. The wheels of God's judgment, the wheels of God's justice might seem to turn slowly, but he always will have the last word. He does not wield his sword in vain. One of the things that will keep you walking uprightly is just simply fearing God. I still fear God. I fear not having my devotions. I fear not taking time to pray. I fear not giving God his tithes and offerings. I really do. I know if I don't tithe, God's going to take it some other way, and I'd rather him have it. I fear watching and listening to certain things that I know are not true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and of good report. I fear God. That helps keep me in track. You know, it helps keep me walking circumspectly, not as a fool, but as a wise person. And so I encourage you to just say, Lord, give me an understanding of how you look at sin and that you do judge sin. You know, I'm not only jealous for my own life, but I'm jealous for my wife. I want God to bless her. I want God to bless my children. I want God to bless their spouses. We have 6 grandchildren now. I don't want Papa to live in such a way that God can't bless my family, that God can't shed his grace, so to speak, on them. I've said it before, and I think I can say it again, that I stand here tonight blessed of the Lord because my dad and mom lived for the Lord. And I'm reaping the righteous lives they lived. And I believe Kay would say that she's reaching the fruit of the righteous lives that her parents lived. Parents, you want to live in such a way that God can bless your children. And God can bless your grandchildren. All right, then God said to Elijah in verse 18, Yet have I left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. And here we see that God was preserving a remnant for himself. Elijah, you are not alone. There are others who are standing where you stand. They are standing with the true and living God of Israel. And I say how graciously God's still small voice silenced Elijah's fears and reassured his heart. Again, God said, Elijah, I'm going to use you again. I'm going to use you again. You will anoint Hazael to be king of Syria, Jehu to be king of Israel, Elisha to be your successor. And what a blessing and encouragement Elisha was to Elijah. And all these Baal worshipers, my sword will slay, judgment is coming their way. And Elijah, you have company, 7,000 Israelites still call me their Lord and their God. And then we read in verse 19, so we departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th, and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. Now what does this verse tell us? That the Lord had truly restored the soul of his servant. He was back again on the righteous path. And how can we say that? Because he was obedient. Elijah was obedient to what God told him to do. Obedience to God's commands will always be the test of our relationship with God. Elijah passed. How can you tell that God has restored your soul? How can you tell that God has led you back to the paths of righteousness? Because he gives you a job. He gives you a job again to do, and you do it. You are obedient. That's how you can tell you've been restored. That's how you can tell you are walking again those paths of righteousness. God gives you a job to do, and you do it. I think that's beautiful, isn't it? I think that's just beautiful. It's so simple, but it's so beautiful. Remember in John chapter 14, verse 15, Christ said, if ye love me, keep my what? Commandments. And here, in obedience to God, Elijah traveled. This took some obedience. He traveled some 160 miles, the distance between Horeb and Abel-Meholah, and most of it across the desert. Now, verse 20, and he left the oxen, and this is Elisha, and ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then will I follow thee. And he said unto him, go back, for what have I done to thee? Elijah simply said, Elisha, do what you need to do, which was followed by, for what have I done to thee? Now think with me. Here was Elijah. I mean, we're talking about the prophet of Israel. But here we see him with no self-importance. We call it humility. Elijah patiently waited on Elisha. Again, this shows us that Elijah was restored. Once again, he was spirit-filled. He did not consider himself important. You and I consider ourselves very important when we become very impatient with others around us. And we don't see that here. Remember, Elijah did get very impatient. And he had a sense of self-importance when he said in verse 10, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant and have thrown down thine altars and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he basically said the same thing in verse 14. So there was a time when Elijah was running away that he felt very, very hurt. You know, people with self-importance when things don't go well, what do they feel? Discouraged and hurt. Let me just say, if you walk around feeling hurt all the time, you're not going to be any good to yourself, to those around you, and to the cause of the gospel. You got to get over feeling hurt when you're serving the Lord, because that's life. You just swallow your pride and say, God, you have called me to do this. I'm going to do it, whether people appreciate me or not. You know what I'm supposed to do? Just say, God, whatever you lay on my heart, help me to preach it, help me to do it faithfully, and you are the one that gives the increase. Remember, God gives the increase. Now, one more evidence that Elijah was restored, walking in the paths of righteousness. If you'll turn over a couple of chapters, 1 Kings chapter 21, we see in verse 17 and 18, and the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he has gone down to possess it. God had additional work for his servant to do. God had another job for him to do. Aren't we glad that God does forgive and God does restore, and God does use us again? Where would any of us be? Where would I be if God did not forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness and lead us back to the paths of righteousness? What a good, loving, patient, and encouraging God we serve. Amen? Amen. Amen.